Welcome to the Discovery Group Leader Training Podcast. This is a training podcast for group leaders. We're here to empower you to be the most effective leader you can be. Why? Because Jesus gave all of us, as disciples, the mission to make more disciples. When we remember his example, we see that Jesus was himself a group leader. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We're trusting that if it worked for Jesus, it will work for us. We're your hosts, Ben Markham. Say hi, Ben.
Happy to be here.
And I'm David Baltus. I am also happy to be here. Today's topic is your first 2 weeks, part three. Who knew there was so much information to learn about your first 2 weeks in a group, but here we are, part three.
Yeah, and I hope everybody's finding it helpful. I know for some people who've never led a group before, this can really be like someone putting their arm around you and saying, let me show you how it's done.
Yes.
Because there are things that you can learn, best practices that will save you having to learn by trial and error.
All right, so we're going to talk about what to do in your first meeting. What's first in your first meeting?
Well, everyone's there. They've all shown up.
Hopefully.
Hopefully they have. Hopefully they made it to the group that night. And when they do, I think it's important to begin, when the group time begins, to begin with expectations and the purpose of the group.
That's great.
Now, you don't greet people at the door with your purpose and your expectations. You get them in the room. And then I think you want to say, hey, here's why we're here. And for us, the reason groups exist and the reason you're there for your group is to learn how to love God more, to love each other more, and to encourage each other to good works. And you might want to repeat that once or twice so everyone in the group can kind of let that settle in. And you can tell them, we'll know if our group is successful, if as we grow together, we're seeing a greater love for God, a greater love for each other, and we're encouraging each other to good works. That, in fact, we're actually doing.
Yes.
So that becomes the target, the bullseye for the group to aim for. But then you want to move from that, I think, into expectations. Now, there's some flexibility with this. I know some group leaders who like to start off with just a purely fun icebreaker type event before they would share something like that. You can do that.
Yes.
If you want to play a name game or a desert island, my name is this, and if I was on a desert island, I'd take that. That's fine. But you're going to see here with one of our next tips that there are some other questions you can ask that will break the ice. But there's some expectations that I think people appreciate hearing. Adults especially appreciate knowing that the group is going to be run with some boundaries and some goals.
Yes.
David, why don't you give us a couple of those expectations? So you've shared your purpose. Now we're sharing expectations. What would some of those be?
Basic ones are, what do they need to bring with them? Another one is day and time, frequency. Are we a weekly group or whatever? What is the schedule? And most importantly, when will we strive to end by in every meeting? So they have a time frame that's going to be monitored to respect their time.
And speaking of like endings there, it's also good to have an end date
for in the semester. The group. Yeah.
And so they would understand that, hey, this group is going to run till the week before Thanksgiving and we'll pick up after New Year's. Or if you're a group that meets year round, and we have some groups that like to do that and they take small breaks, that's fine. But a person knowing what they're committing to, I think is helpful for them. If you go to the group leader manual, which if you don't have, David, how do they get that manual?
Hey, they can just email me. It's David Baltus, that's Baltes, at discoverychurch.org, and we can get you a digital copy. Mm-hmm. We try to send that to all group leaders every semester, at the beginning of every semester, and hand out paper copies. But if you can't find it, you've misplaced it, you didn't get one, just email me and we'll send one to you.
We'll get it to you. If you're listening to this podcast, if we've done our job, you already have one. But if you go to pages 7 and 8, we have the expectations, a whole list of them. We won't cover all of them in this podcast, but a few important ones are things like asking people not to have side conversations.
Yeah.
It's amazing how easy that is to do. I'm somebody who's guilty of it. I like to give commentary to the person next to me, usually to get a laugh. But it's not actually helpful. And if a group has just listened to you and it moves to the next person and you start a side conversation, what you're communicating to the person next to you is they're not as important as you were because they just listened to you.
Yeah.
So we'll put that out there as an expectation, silencing your cell phones. And then just, you know, these two are important. They're not really almost ever a problem at Discovery Church, mostly because we talk about it in our training. And that is, there won't be any gossip in the group. And so let them know right away, like, we're not here to talk about people who aren't here.
Exactly.
And so we're not here to gossip about leadership. We're not here to gossip about other members of the group. So you can enlist everyone to help you with that.
Yes.
And then our discovery groups don't allow for alcohol. And so when your group gets together, if you're someone who enjoys wine and you want to put that out, you think it'll be like a refreshment, whatever, at the beginning, don't do it. Don't, no beer, no alcohol, alcohol in general, simply because there's an awful lot of people in our church that are part of recovery.
Yes.
There's a lot of people who hold to that as an issue of morality for them. They've chosen not to make alcohol a part of their life.
Yes.
We don't want to make people feel uncomfortable for something that really isn't necessary to make a group good.
Exactly.
All right. So those are some simple expectations you can put out there and enlist the help of the people who are in your group. If you want to see all of them, go to the manual. All right.
Again, pages 8 and 9. Now, we want to get to know each other in the first few weeks.
Yes.
And I would say that it's okay to really prioritize this, allow ample time, because if you have a bunch of people that have never been together or some are brand new and others have been together, it's good to prioritize time to allow people to introduce themselves, to have conversation, to feel comfortable with one another. That's the foundation on which we'll build the trust for growing more like Jesus and growing closer together and encouraging each other to do good works.
Yeah, it's so important. You're not going to accomplish what you would like to see accomplished in your group without good chemistry in the group.
Exactly.
And so let's say you're leading a 90-minute group. If 45 to even almost 60 minutes of your first couple weeks are in these type of exercises we're going to share where you get to know each other, that's okay.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, sometimes we'll even have groups that are based in a video series, and we'll tell them, in your first week, you might only show the video and not talk about it, but you're going to spend an hour getting to know each other.
Yeah.
And that's really critical. You will have some people who are like, I showed up to learn. But you want to help them understand that's going to happen, but learning and growing together happens when we build chemistry with one another. So we've got four questions that we love to encourage people. That's in the group leader manual. We love to encourage people to go after because they're not deep end questions. All right.
Yes.
So what I mean about deep end, you don't really want to talk to a group of people and say, can you describe to us your relationship with your mother and your father?
Yes.
That is a little too deep end because there's just most of the trauma people carry around in life probably came from that relationship. But you could ask them what some of their family dynamics were like, for example, birth order.
Yes.
Most people, they just don't mind talking about, I was the youngest, the middle, I was 7 of 8. That's fun for them. So the dynamic of their home is fun. If you get into the sibling side of it and you keep it away from like all the mom and dad stuff. So that's one of our favorite. We say, tell about your family growing up, but specifically sibling and birth order.
Yeah, that's good. Also, tell us about your hobbies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's pretty low hanging fruit. I mean, and there's easy follow up questions. If someone says, "I like to paint," okay, well, that's awesome. Can you tell us more about it? Is there a style you like to paint? Do you do scenery? Do you do what's just in your imagination?
Still life.
Still life. Yeah. What does that look like for you? Or do you like to sketch?
Yeah.
That gives you a chance to show interest. Would you be ever willing to show the group at some point some of your work? So hobbies is an easy, low-hanging fruit kind of question. The next two get a little bit more, you're getting to know them a little bit more. And the next one gets into, tell us about your spiritual journey and where you're at now.
Yeah.
I think this is a wonderful question. You may need to direct it to the people who seem to be the most comfortable. You may need to do it yourself first. Having people ask, where are you at now? What does that look like? And it's not, you're not asking people to start back in the second grade. Now you're really just saying, hey, give us a snapshot of your spiritual journey and where you're at right now in your faith, which I think is helpful. It leads to our last question.
Our last question is, tell us about hopes or a goal you have for the group. I think this is very helpful to focus people. Here's what I hope to get out of it. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm praying God does for me. Those are good things.
It's a question that's been around for a long time. In a lot of contexts, you've probably heard it asked, and that's just tell us why you're here. We say it better, I think, by saying, what do you hope for? What do you hope to get out of the group? What do you hope this experience will provide for you? And if you're listening carefully, you'll learn a lot about a person when they say, here's what my hopes are.
Yes, you will.
They may, in fact, get more vulnerable than you expect them to. Now, these four questions don't all have to be in the first night. You may just want to take two of them and say, tell us about your siblings, tell us about your spiritual journey. And then week two, tell us about your hobbies, tell us about your hopes for the group. Or any order you want to mix up on that. But I really recommend over the first 3 to 4 weeks, you get through those questions because of how revealing they can be. And perhaps you know one that's really well that you want to talk to, that you want to talk through as well. All right. We just got about a minute and a half here left, David, on this. What are some other things they can do in the first group that will be helpful?
Talk about the parts of the study, the outline of the evening. Mm-hmm. This kind of an introduction or orientation, I think, helps certain personality styles really relax into
yes
what's going to happen. They have the overview. They kind of know. They can track where you are mm-hmm. in the process.
I'm personally someone that likes to show up to something where I believe the leader has a plan.
Yes.
And the best way for me to know that they have a plan is for them to tell me they have a plan and what the plan is. And so for message-based groups, you know, you can actually show them the questions that are in the church app and say, yes. Our goal is to work through these questions every week. We won't do all of them, but we always want to leave room at the beginning, 15 minutes or so for God sightings, and we want to leave 15 to 20 minutes at the end for prayer.
Exactly.
And so when you tell them that, then those people who are a little bit like watch checkers, you know, and I'm a watch checker, it helps me relax.
Yeah,
it really does. I'm like, sure. Oh, we have a plan. But then you have to actually stick to your plan. So when you explain how the group's going to work and how you're going to go through the material, you have to do what you said you're going to do. And you can tell them, hey, this first week's different because we're going to spend more time getting to know each other mm-hmm. and a little less time on the material. And you could say that at the beginning of the night as well, but explaining the study and how it's going to work and then if there is homework involved in it, I think is really, really important. And I think we're kind of wrapping up in a good spot here today,
yes.
David. And hopefully our listeners got a lot out of this and they'll be better prepared for their first 2 weeks.
Yes. I think we always want to close with prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be a great study.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the application for today. If we follow this outline, it'll set our group up for a great first couple of meetings. I mean, it's just a roadmap to have successful time together and build relationships. So join us next time. We're going to start a brand new topic, 7 challenging group members.
That's
wow.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. What to do in those challenging situations with sometimes people who need our help as group
yes.
leaders to be
yes.
a part of our group. Looking forward to it.
Well, remember, the better the leader, the better the group. Now go make some disciples.